The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
You ain't got nothing to say. MVP candidate, nominating, playing yeah. like a true big man. He has the ability to step out, and he does that, but that's not all he does.
Right.
You saw the fadeaway, went inside with the spin moves, keeping his guys involved. I ain't got nothing bad to say about big fella at all.
There he is, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal after the game last night on TNT. Talking about Nikola Jokic, who delivered yet another just virtuoso performance. Another triple-double as he went for 37 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. He becomes only the second center ever to reach 50 career triple-doubles, joining Wilt Chamberlain. And Chad Brown, who's in for Mark Schlereth, I think this was the signature kind of performance that not only the Nuggets delivered, but the fact that they delivered it against Giannis Antetokounmpo in his building. I think that Nikola Jokic is firmly cemented as one of the top two or three MVP candidates.
I don't know
if he'll win the MVP, but he won't finish any worse than third in the voting.
I don't think there's any denying that fact. But when you travel around, you know, folks recognize that Jokic is a good player, but I don't think they have a true understanding of how special he is and what a truly unique talent. The Nuggets just don't get a lot of national love. It's unfortunate for a guy like him, because he is truly deserving to be in the conversation. It's not some media creation where he's having a hot season and everybody's locally trying to push him. We're maybe in some ways behind the curve. That's how good he's been over the last couple of years.
Well, I said this yesterday. In order for him and the Nuggets to truly get the attention they deserve, they have to become this generation Spurs. Small market team, led by a guy like Tim Duncan. Nothing flashy in his game, the big fundamental. But when you're winning NBA championships and you're playing in the finals every June, the national media has no choice but to pay attention to you and elevate you and praise you and put you in the Hall of Fame and put you in the MVP conversation. That's the next step for Jokic and the Nuggets. Next on the Morning Brew.
You need a safety that has good range, and it's not just like that in-the-box safety. In fact, I know Matt Rhule of Carolina brought the words in from college that it's a positionless player that you have, because sometimes he's a safety, sometimes he's a linebacker, sometimes he's a slot cornerback. But Justin Simmons is really good, and I think is at the top of the list as far as safeties this year.
There is our Broncos senior writer John Clayton from DenverFan.com talking about Justin Simmons. All right, where are you at with Simmons? My man Stink has always said, look, Simmons is a really good player for the kind of safety he is. But if you want to be the highest paid or one of the highest paid safeties, you have to be one of those Jamal Adams, come down, you know, play in the box type safeties. Do you see the same differences? And should that impact how much he gets paid?
I think I'll differ from Mark as to, you know, what kind of safety is deserving of the top money. I think you can be a more of a free safety kind of safety. But you got to be a playmaker, and I need to see game-changing kind of plays. Think about Earl Thomas when the Legion of Boom was operating great. That's the kind of center field safety that I think deserves top dollar. Guys who make huge plays. Justin Simmons is a fantastic player. He's one of the rare players you could say is probably a better dude than he is a football player, and he's an all-pro player. But to be the top highest paid safety in my mind, I'm looking for Ed Reed. I'm looking for Troy Polamalu. I'm looking for Earl Thomas in his prime. I don't see that kind of playmaking ability from Justin Simmons.
Next on the Morning Brew. Well, according to MLB Network's John Heyman, the Colorado Rockies are not expected to sign shortstop Trevor Story to a contract extension anytime soon. He tweeted out yesterday, the Rockies are said not to have the budget for any big signing at the moment. So barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar shortstop Trevor Story. I just watched some baseball highlights earlier this morning, and they showed Nolan Arenado lining a RBI single to right field wearing that resplendent cardinal red. Get ready, folks. Trevor Story's going to be dealt this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean they don't have the budget? That $50 million that you sent St. Louis put you over the edge with your budget?
It doesn't... It sounds so ridiculous. It just... I wonder how people can be true Rockies fans considering these moves and the lack of moves for to field a competitive team, a consistently competitive team, to keep your players, to resign your players. I mean, the disappointment just goes on and on and on and on and on. At what point does a Rockies fan just throw their hands up and go, you know what, I'm cool to have a nice evening over there off of Blake Street, but I can't be emotionally invested in this anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. We really won't know until you're allowed to have full capacity back at the games again to see what kind of statement Rockies fans are going to make in terms of staying away. I mean, I know personally, I can just speak for myself. You know, I'm somebody that if the Rockies were a seriously contending playoff team, I would go with my son, or I'd take my family to easily probably 7 to 10 games during the course of the year. I'll go to a couple.
It's a nice night out.
And you know what? I have a 14-year-old who is, I'm actually pretty fortunate, is actually a 14-year-old boy who likes baseball. You know, it actually will sit down and watch baseball. Good luck finding many 14-year-olds that will do that these days. So I don't want to kill that interest in the game. I want to try to cultivate it. Of course, I'll be making sure I pick good opponents to go see. Next on The Morning Brew.
I've obviously seen his career. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an incredible athlete, and what he's been able to accomplish, he's been a winner at every stage of his life. That's not a coincidence. You're a winner because of the way that you work and because of the aura that you give off and because of the talent that you have. And I think that he has all of those things, and he's going to continue to win and continue to have success. And that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him yesterday in Texas, I'm here because I believe in you.
J.J. Watt talking about why he joined the Cardinals and the influence that Kyler Murray had in making his decision. Do you come away from this whole J.J. Watt to the Cardinals journey, courtship, convinced that he truly is going to a place where he believes he can win as opposed to just chasing dollars?
They've got a top two or three tier quarterback. They've got a top three wide receiver in the league. With J.J. Watt now, they have three of the better pass rushers in the league with Haason Reddick and Chandler Jones. They've got a all-pro safety in Buda Baker. They've got some pieces together out there. J.J. Watt's clearly comfortable with Vance Joseph and the defense that he calls. I think J.J. Watt is not just blowing smoke, and it's not about just the dollars there in Arizona. They do have a legitimate shot. If Cliff Kingsbury just was able to restrain his desire to be a freaking play-calling genius, they would have won two or three more games last year.
Good time right now to be Vance Joseph, huh?
Having the time of his life.
Man. He is set up now, like you just laid out with these pieces on defense. He is set up to have the kind of year defensively that could get him another head coaching job.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget, they drafted Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson.
That's right.
Last year.
That's right.
Who went through a learning curve as a young linebacker, but I think will be a much better player. So they got playmakers on all three levels of that defense. They got a quarterback who's one of the most difficult guys to deal with defensively in the league. They can run the ball pretty effectively. They got some good offensive linemen. There is a talented team out there. Obviously, it's a very rough division. But that's a vision that's so good, all four teams can make the playoffs.
All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Want to get your reaction to everything we just covered here in the Brew? We'll get your thoughts on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And I need your answer as to what the next step is with Von Miller. Do you pick up that option? What is your plan with Von? We'll find out next.